Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Paul Listening Behind the Curtain. Well, that magical music mystery of Cats, which has been playing around for decades now, is playing at the Paramount Theater in Aurora. But here's the thing. If you say, I've seen Cats. Yeah, so have I. No, I've seen Cats many times. Yeah, so have I. But you haven't seen Cats the way it's being put on now at the Paramount. Nobody has ever seen Cats the way it's being put on now at the Paramount. You'll understand as we get into this. Let me introduce my guest to you for this. I should start with you, Emily, because I know it, but I'm sorry. I have such a long, long relationship with Gene Wigand. With your permission, I'm going to start off by introducing my buddy Gene, because we go back so far, Gene, and we have not got to talk in a while. So I'm just so thrilled when you said yes to doing this. You play Gus the theater cat. An aging cat, which is obviously not typecasting in your case, and Bust for Jones and Peter and all sorts of things. But of course, it's your history, your Broadway history, that is just so amazing that you remain one of Chicago's very own. You were, and I saw you as the wizard in Wicked on Broadway. In fact, did you come in right after Joel Grey? Were you right after Joel?
No, I think I can't think of his name. Ben Vereen. Ben Vereen was right after Joel.
Okay.
Ben came to Chicago for a couple of weeks, and I went to New York.
Love it. So that was just so great. And of course, Come From Away, where you big at the Paramount. You've done so many shows, Little Shop and Annie. So good to have you, and good to see you again, my friend. Thanks. And let's talk to Grisabella, Emily Rome. So popular, they named a city after her. See, I worked at it. She plays Grisabella, but you've seen her at the Paramount, Mary Poppins and Fun Home and Sweeney Todd, but you've been off Broadway, so many things. But Grisabella, that's an amazing role to do. Is it not? Do you put that on a list of a role that I really want to play in my career?
You know, it wasn't even on my list because I didn't even think I'd ever even be asked to audition for it, which is weird because Cats is the first musical that I grew up with. It was the first like musical theater soundtrack that I ordered. And I just listened to it so much, and it never even occurred to me that I could play Grisabella, and now I get to do it, and it's a dream.
Oh, and so fabulous, by the way. We're going to talk about it because it's a little different as we see it this time around. Even Grisabella has to handle herself, but also joining us is Ryan Hemmer, who plays, you know what, I've never actually introduced or interviewed this character, so I want to say it right. Is it Coricopat?
Corkopat? Yeah.
Corkopat, close enough, okay.
Yep.
You are part of these psychic twins in this, but also you have been critical, they say, in the sort of, you are an actor and an acrobat, and so the acrobatics part of this, which some people are probably now going, acrobatics, what? Exactly. We're going to talk about how that introduces in the show, and you're half of its duo, Refraction. Yep. But we've also seen you in Looking Glass Alice, I have as well, Circus Quixote at Actors Gymnasium. Please say hi to Sylvia and an old friend, Larry, when you come across them in time, her former husband, but great people. So hello to all of you, and thanks for joining me. So Cats is different. I first saw it on Broadway at the Winter Garden Theater in, I think, Dean's first show. I thought I wrote this down, but I didn't. 1980, late 80s, something like that. But back then they had seats on the stage and you like sat there and the cats got to play with you and you got to play with the cats and it was really great fun. This one is different. Gene, I'll come to you on this one just because you're the old Broadway star here. How is this Cats different from everything that I saw and many people saw on Broadway and anywhere else you saw it here?
It's 200% better. It's 200% more fun.
And different.
It's more entertaining. It is sung so well. The dancers are so fantastic. And the whole circus element, the people who fly on trapeze and on the silks and the sear wheel, and there is juggling and balancing on balls, genuine circus talents that have been incorporated into the story that Trent has set up, that that this is a circus comprised of cats, and this is how we tell particularly Grisabella's story. She's down at the bottom of my but they're, honest to goodness, they're so exciting and fun to watch, and they say, and they help tell this story and pull cats together, and I think that's why people who thought they didn't so much care for cats have found that they really, really enjoy this one.
You know, you said pulling cats together. Did you avoid the phrase herding cats?
No, I didn't, but I will from now on.
All right. So, Ryan, I'm going to pop over to you, Ryan Hemmer, because I, again, I know you were instrumental in working with Trent and this whole team of getting everybody ready, your choreographer, Kialfonso, circus specialist, Sylvia.
Yes.
So talk to me about, can you tell us a little bit about where the idea came from to say it's time to reinvent cats and we'll do it in this Cirque du Soleil kind of way?
Yeah, I think the thing that, well, first of all, I think it was born out of this like mutual interest that Trent has in circus and theater. The way Trent always phrased it was they've admired circus from afar for a really long time. And circus, especially like the concept of traditional, like a tent circus, is all around this idea of like usually like a family-oriented business that people unite around and there's a lot of community, which really gives this like beautiful skeleton to sort of structure the Jellicle cats and the Jellicle ball and all these cats sort of coming together that have either magical powers or seemingly magical abilities to fly through the air and do all these superhuman feats. That sort of gives a little bit more like structure to the idea, sort of the ethereal idea of the Jellicle ball, and that we're all coming together to put on this circus. And based on all these different acts or numbers that we see, such as like Jenny Eddie Dots being a contortionist, or Mungo Jerry and Rumpelteazer stealing things while flying through the air in their duo loop stacked, we're sort of competing almost for this spot as the Jellicle choice. And then we have this beautiful opportunity to have Grisabella as the sort of lost, fallen from grace, high-flying duo trapeze act, where she's lost her partner. And that gives a little bit more of a clear reason as to why we're isolating and ostracizing her from the rest of us, that I feel like sometimes the audience can grasp onto that a little bit better. And it's all physicalized in a more clear way than I think some of the past productions have been.
And Emily, I'm going to come to you just one second, one follow-up with you, Ryan, which is when the casting was done, do you know, were you basically saying we need people who are, because you are an acrobat as well. So were you saying we need acrobats, or were you saying, no, we need actors, but we can teach them to do the ropes and the silks and the whatever?
Right. So at least for my casting process, it was mostly a recommendation from Sylvia, my partner, Kat Harvey, and I, who have worked as together as Duo Refraction, have worked multiple like cruise line contracts as acrobats. But we also both have like benefitingly BFA backgrounds in theater. So we've worked in equity houses and we've also worked in this like more traditional circus environment. So we definitely came in with that like professional circus experience where we can like come up with routines that we can do reliably 8 times a week without too much of a toll on our body. And it was similar with a lot of the other, we'll say, circus principals who do like strict routines and stuff. And then it was a matter of finding actors like Emily and Donovan, who plays Rum Tum Tugger, who are willing to hop on a lira or hop on a trapeze and hit those crazy high notes still.
Emily, when you auditioned for this, I mean, you're you know, always at Paramount, we get to see you there so much. So when this one came up, did you know what you were in for?
I had a clue because the breakdown of all the characters kind of hinted at circus acts. And they were even willing to hear, like, if you had a special skill that you could bring to the table. And I think lately in the past few years, I've kind of been known for being a flying soprano. I think this is the fourth show that I've flown in various ways.
So your special skill wasn't going to be I speak French.
I mean, I could have tried that, but it probably wouldn't have gotten me in the cast.
No, exactly.
But I think they knew that I flew in Mary Poppins at Paramount, and in Ride the Cyclone, I had quite a flight. And most recently, all last year, I toured with the Magic Flute and I entered on a trapeze. So I think the natural choice was to put me on a trapeze for this. And I don't do the tricks like the core circus performers do, but as the old cat, I get to do one last flight as a cat.
And let me, Emily, let me stay with you to tell the story, because this is based on a collection of poems by T.S. Eliot, as most people know, Old Possum's Book of Practical Cats. I don't know that T.S. Eliot had a musical in mind when he wrote them, but Andrew Lloyd Webber figured it out when he came across them. But so talk about how the fact that this actually is a story, a series of poems that becomes a story that ultimately really is, in my view, about you.
Well, it's really, each cat gets to introduce themselves and kind of explain why they should be the Jellicle choice. They each have their own skills. Even without the circus element added, every cat has their own specialty. Like Skimbleshanks, the railway cat, keeps the train in order. And so it's, each cat has 9 lives, and to go on to their next life, they need to go to the Heaviside layer, which is where magical things happen. It's mysterious. And then they get to come back to live their next life. But in order to do that, it's almost like, I kind of look at it as like Buddhism, where you have to like go to the next life and fulfill some sort of goal, and then you get to move on. So each cat kind of gets to explain why they are the Jellicle choice. And in the end, it gets to be me, and it feels really cool.
Spoiler alert. Too late, spoiler alert.
Too late.
But, okay. But that's okay. And you get, of course, you know, the classic that comes from Cats, the song Memory. Does the audience go wild every night when they hear it? I mean, it's like they're kind of waiting for that.
I mean, it's a lot. It's funny because this big role that, you know, people dream about, it's really, there's not a lot of stage time for Grisabella. So she has to really kind of nail it every time she's out there. So I do feel a lot of pressure every time I'm out there. I'm like, I have to be nailing this because this is why I was hired. And so when it does reach that big moment in Memory, it feels amazing every time. And sometimes I get choked up, and I even, you know, it's hard to sing because it's emotional for me. But even when my voice is weak from like crying a little bit or something, the audience is still really appreciative and loving it. And I think they feel the emotion from Grisabella and kind of know why she's longing to be the choice a little bit better than some other productions in the past, because the lyrics are so poetic and sometimes hard to understand the story. And I think we've made it pretty clear in this production, and I'm proud of that. And Trent has been really amazing with it.
Yeah, and by the way, Grisabella, when I think of Grisabella, I have this posture that comes into my mind, and you know what I'm talking about, the kind of classic Grisabella. And you know, we don't get that as much, right? I mean, because we can't, because you have other things you have to do here.
Yeah, I've kind of, in my mind, my partner and I in our trapeze act, we either had a falling out and he dropped me and I left the circus and kind of went a little bit mad, lost some of my memory. And so it's not just that she's old and decrepit. It's more that she's hurt physically and mentally. And coming back to the circus sparks those memories in her, and it's all about remembering the act and how she felt at home in the circus. And so it's not necessarily about the posture. I do give myself a little bit of a limp and some shoulder issues because I have them in real life. And so I just brought that to the table.
Gee, let's talk about Gus. That is just so you. I mean, that's not the aging part, but just what a classic role, I think, for you. Maybe you hate it, I don't know. But talk about embodying that role, because you've been so blessed in your career to have some amazing roles.
Well, isn't that just the truth, that I feel like I'm the luckiest actor in North America. I don't know how I've come to get to play such wonderful roles. Well, and in this telling, and maybe Ryan and Emily can clarify this for me, because it's been a while since we talked about it early in rehearsal, but there is some indication in our production that Ryan, who plays a younger version of Gus while he flies, was the partner that Emily spoke of a moment ago. Hi, speaking of cats.
Ah, how perfect. Product placement. Yeah. Product placement. That is plat. That's going to like be a meme thing. I don't know what a meme is, but it's going to be one of those. I love that. Kind of looks like, to be honest with you, kind of looks like Gus a little bit, actually, when you think about it.
But I'll tell you, but the song, you know, it's interesting. Emily mentioned it, too. I think it's interesting. I was never emotionally, I'd seen Cats a couple of times. Previously, I saw it on Broadway in the mid-90s. And it was, okay, fine, there's a bunch of songs and some dancing. But I was not emotionally affected by it. And for several days in rehearsal, this number, because I've started to think about beginning to prepare to get older. And this song kind of hijacked me a couple of times, and it was tricky to get through, because he talks about all the things that have happened in his life, and has an awareness that he's coming to the end of it, and a realization that he can't do all the things that he used to do. And many of us may have that experience as we go through life.
You know, let me follow up on that. You know, just Emily sort of created a whole backstory for herself of who Grisabelle. She was a lawyer. She wasn't doing, you know, for you, what I'm hearing a backstory in there, or at least a reflection of career story in there.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. He remembers all the things that he's done and the places he's been. And it's what old actors do. We tell our story. We just tell all the parts of our story. And poor Ryan has to live with me for it.
I enjoy every minute of it, Gene. I'm always stoked to hear a story.
Gene and I should just go to a deli somewhere and spend the day. And that's, you know,
exactly. It's just all stories. I have no idea how to carry on a conversation or ask other people questions. It's just, oh, when I was doing this show with this person, here's this weird thing that happened just before we got arrested, and still made it back in time for bows. Those kinds of.
That's the way you make it work.
Things, yeah. But I'll tell the other thing. I'll tell you about this number. Everybody goes, "Oh, it's so sweet," and blah blah blah. All those kinds of things, which is lovely to hear, and kind of the reaction you want. But Ms. Allison Sill is responsible for that. She sets this number up. She is the most beautiful person you'd ever care to meet, inside and out. She is a beautiful cat. She is a big dork, and I just love her to death. But she tells the audience how to feel about Gus, and interestingly, you know, she's much younger than I, and much younger. Her cat is much younger than Gus. But they're pals. They're buddies. They're besties. And she, as she sings and she opens the number, she explains to you how to feel about Gus.
As you get into this, I'm guessing maybe for a lot of people who hadn't played Cats before, except for Gene, who apparently has a live-in role model. Ryan, and by the way, I found my date. I saw it in 1982, sitting on the stage of the Winter Garden Theater.
Wow.
So, yeah. And, you know, back then I bothered some of the cats and things you shouldn't do. But anyway, probably why they pulled the chairs off stage after that. But Ryan, talk to me about, you know, in terms of the prep here, how did people get in the, you know, given the fact that probably most people hadn't played Cats before? I mean, you don't get to say even to Emily, okay, you're Grisabella, so here's her backstory, whatever, which she created. But you have to be a cat. So what kind of training, what were people put through to be a cat?
Right. I remember, I think it was one of the first days of rehearsal, we did sort of like a mailing about the space with all like 31 of us-ish. There's somewhere around the 30-ish of us. And the focus was to focus on asymmetry, because cats are sort of always a little bit asymmetrical, and moving, utilizing your whole spine to like find that asymmetry, as opposed to just being like asymmetrical with limbs.
I hear, but the acrobatics in that. I mean, I do.
Yes, totally. And then, well, that's the other thing that's interesting as like a circus performer, is finding moments where I can still adhere to the technique that I need to adhere to make the circus happen safely, but find those moments of characterizing so that I still look like a cat doing circuits, which has been one of the most enjoyable parts of the process for me, because I get to turn a move that maybe I've done like 1,000 times over and over one way into a completely different move by adding sort of like a little like ear flick or a little like lick groom of maybe myself, or maybe when Kat and I are both in the air at the same time, we're like grooming each other on the trapeze while we're 20 feet in the air, to add that sort of like fun cat-like tendencies to the thing.
So let me ask, is that directed, or is that you came up with it and other people are doing their own cat moves?
It's truly the freedom of it, of we were told to like go ahead, go free, and like keep moving in that direction. But most of it is like sort of found through ensemble work together. And we find, Gina and I were actually just talking about this past week, of how now that we're like deeper into the run, people just keep finding more and more moments of like how to connect with each other as cats, and how we're like greeting each other with like a roll of the body and like a nod of the head, or like maybe a gentle brush of each other's heads and like a twizzle of the ears as cats together as an ensemble, and how that like is, that connective tissue just keeps evolving.
Wait, so Gene, let me come back to you. So does that mean for folks who see this, the show is playing through June 15th, snuck that in, at the Paramount. For folks who come to see it on 12, 13, 14, like around then, are they kind of getting a more intricate, different experience from maybe the earliest previews of the show in terms of this cat piece?
I think, well, I'm not sure this is exactly the answer to your question. I think that's always the case, that as you get deeper into the run of any show, you learn more, you have revelations about the simplest little, seemingly simple things that have an enormous impact later. But it just takes time to really learn a show. But as Ryan was saying, you learn from one another. You notice that someone else has, they've found a job, because we can't, it's hard to behave in the manner of a cat. They're so agile and strong and stupid and so many things that humans simply cannot do. So you find what...
Oh, we do stupid pretty well, Gene.
Yeah, you got to high five on us for that. But you see other people on deck, or as Ryan said, someone finally had permission in their own mind one day to rub their shoulder against you, and you go, oh yeah, cats do that. And so you rub your shoulder against them, or you see the way that someone else runs across the stage that isn't choreographed. Or I've noticed a couple of things that my cat does, and everybody that has a cat has seen them stretch their hind legs behind them. And so I do that for a few steps in one cross. It doesn't change the play at all, but it feeds my imagination.
I love that. Emily, I had this image, Emily, of early on in the show, Grizabella probably maybe had some fleas and different things. I don't know if you saw it that way, but what do you do in terms of your cat movements that maybe you disagree with that portrayal of her, but what do you do?
Well, I, like I said, I have the little limp that I have, and the shoulder and the paw shake, from, you know, years of doing trapeze circus work as a cat. And also she even refers to her coat being torn, and not only her coat as in her fur, but the costume she's wearing. And so it's a lot of like looking at her own fur, realizing how dirty she is. Maybe she doesn't fully realize that she's, you know, been outside and alone for so long. So a lot of it is like discovering in the moment how kind of rough she's looking, and remembering that she used to be the glamour cat. And so I kind of use those ideas to move like a cat and maybe try and groom myself, even though it's kind of a lost cause at this point.
Hey Ryan, in the rehearsals and stuff, were there days like today is acrobatics day, today is that, or was it always that we're doing scene three and whatever goes with it goes with it?
No, we would definitely, because we were rehearsing in one of Paramount's rehearsal rooms that obviously has a very low ceiling and no aerial rigging. So usually what it would be is we had essentially like a week of circus workshop rehearsals before rehearsals even started for the other actors and performers, where we would sort of like create rough drafts of like, okay, like this is what we're going to throw at the wall here and see what sticks. Certain performers, like since Kat and I work together as a duo already, we already had sort of like sequences and ideas that we could throw at Sylvia, and Sylvia could be like, yes, or like, yes, but let's slow it down and let's like add this vibe on top of it. Do you know, to like make it a more finished product and to fit the concept, the overarching conception a little bit more. And then throughout rehearsals before tech, we would have Fridays at Actors Gymnasium, where we would go and use that space to say, like, work on more details in the Mungo Jerry and Rumble teaser, duo loops act, and that sort of stuff.
Okay. And I was going to say, because if that was the rehearsal room, you couldn't wait until you were going on the stage, right? So you had to go to the gymnasium.
Exactly. Yeah. And then we brought it all together with, we had flight rehearsals even before tech, because we had to get used to the difference in the system and the height in the theater.
I did a special some years ago with David Schwimmer and others on Looking Glass Theater. We went to the Actors Gymnasium, and so they let me try the silks and stuff. That did not become my career. I can tell you that. It was horrible.
Hey, you never know.
I would have auditioned for Cats had I known.
Of course, in the rehearsal hall, we had a vague idea of what they might be doing. And occasionally, you know, you would see Ryan run around the space, you know, with a sort of bemused look on his face, indicating, you know, I'm probably going to make a circle about this big, but it's going to be 30 feet in the air. And I promise you, when we went into tech and first saw what all of these guys were doing, we were absolutely floored, flabbergasted, knocked out. There are just not enough words to tell you how exciting it was to see this stuff. And when you hear the audience reaction, particularly I think at the end of the Jellicle Ball, you get some idea of how thrilling this stuff is to see, or even just McCavity's exit. It's just the first time I saw that, I simply couldn't believe that that's where they put him. I thought, oh, we've just lost Matthew. Oh my God.
Gene, what do you think the reaction of, I'm sure we both had friends who have done Cats on Broadway. Greg Edelman comes to mind as one. He and I grew up together, and I'm assuming you know Greg. He just did Water for Elephants on Broadway. What do you think that traditional performers, maybe who, he was Mr. Mistopheles when he did Cats, but people have done the show before, you think they look at this now and they just go, oh, yes, let's do that on Broadway? Because they did do the Jellicle Ball thing, which was quite the hit.
I'm not sure, honestly. I don't know. I know several people. I know the dance captain and one of the gals in Come From Away had done Cats for a long, long time on Broadway, and I know two Chicagoans who became the dance captains on the tour and did it for a long time. But I feel like in those days it was such a dancey show. Everybody thought of it as a, you know, scrunchy leg warmers kind of show in the early 80s, because everybody had scrunchy leg warmers in dance class. And I think we all assumed you needed to be, if you're going to do Cats, you've got to be a strong jazz dancer. You've got to be a Lou Conti type person. But I imagine that those actual people, since they've grown and matured, and would appreciate what we've done with this show and would enjoy seeing it and be just as thrilled as we are every time I peek out from the wings and watch these guys.
Ryan, are the scrunchy leg warmers out? We don't use those anymore?
No, we still have the scrunchy leg warmers.
I just wanted to be sure. Sure. Because apparently Gene gave his away. So I just wanted to find out what was going on. And
Gene's a special case, you know.
What's that?
Well, yeah. Gene's a special case.
Very much so. And Emily, let me just ask you, I mean, you've done so many things at Paramount. This is very different. Although Paramount, just every production is really phenomenal. I mean, Full Monty recently, Kevin, just everything I see there, Kinky Boots, it's an incredible theater for people who haven't been there. They need to go see it. It's grand. But talk to me about just the experience of doing this kind of show versus other ones. Mary Poppins, pretty big show too. Where does this rank in your Paramount experience? Going to be tough to beat on your next show, or where does this rank in that?
It's really hard to rank them because like you said, they are so different. I feel like this one was a surprise for me. It's a surprise, like it kind of renewed my love of music theater, to be honest. So it's pretty high up there because I didn't know that I'd be loving this so much when I started. I was like, okay, we're doing Cats. We all know what this is. Everyone's seen it. But then when we started, just the ideas that Trent put on it, the thrilling story that's been added to it is, it's really, it makes me feel excited to do the show. And yes, we all get tired and putting on the makeup is a ton of work, but I get like a thrill every time the music starts for this show. So it is going to be hard to beat.
Ryan, by the way, if you can get Trent and Jim Corte and all them to do a Cirque version of Fiddler on the Roof, Gene and I will do a Tevye and Laser Wolf acrobatic scene.
I'm on
We
it.
will be there.
On it.
May debate who's who in that scene, but we will. I mean, I know he's got the
Bob and
credentials, but I have forever wanted to be Tevye. So, Gene, please, once.
I will be there. Yeah. This is gonna sell.
I think so. I think
Well,
so.
I just thank you guys so much. The Cats, as you've never seen it before, gonna be really interested. I just don't think this is the last we've seen of it. I have a feeling somebody somewhere is gonna pick up on this, and whether it makes it to Broadway or whether it goes elsewhere, this has given some ideas to a lot of people who will steal it and then claim it as their own. But Cats is playing at Paramount Theater in Aurora only through June 15th. You've got to see it by June 15th. Tickets at ParamountAurora.com. Thank you all, cats one and all, for spending time with me. Gene, if your cat wants to give a farewell, I didn't mean you, I meant your cat wants to give a farewell. That would be great, but she's gone. But don't miss Cats at the Paramount Theater. It's an experience like you've never had before. Thank you, everybody. And thank you all for joining us here on Fallistic Behind the Curtain. We'll see you next time.